low. The lighting was darker, more sinister and subdued. But the bodies were still there. He had not been imagining it. "Jesus," he said again. "Sweet Jesus." The sign on the door said Data Prosex Epsilon, and underneath in red lettering, "Admission by clearance card only." Inside was a comfortable sort of briefing room, screen on one wall, a dozen steel tubing and leather chairs facing it, and a projector in the back. When Manchek and Comro entered the room, Jaggers, the technician, was already waiting for them, standing at the front of the room by the screen. Jaggers rubbed his hands as Manchek and Comro sat down. "Well then," he said, "might as well get right to it. I think we have something to interest you tonight." He nodded to the projectionist in the back. "First picture." The room lights darkened, there was a mechanical click, and the screen lighted to show an aerial view of a small desert town. "This is an unusual shot. From our files, taken 2 months ago from Janos 12R recon satellite, you can see the town here. Not too much to look at, even from 187 miles. Another click. This was dark, with a reddish tint, and was clearly an overview of the town. The outlines of the buildings were very dark. "We begin here with the scavenger jet's IR plates. These are infrared films, as you know, which produce a picture on the basis of heat instead of light. Anything warm appears white on the picture. Anything cold is black."
"What are those white spots?" Comro said.
"There were 40 or 50 white areas on the film."
"Those," Jagger said, "are bodies. Inside houses, some in the street. By count, they number 50.
At that moment, a private entered the room with three circular metal canisters under his arm.
"Sir, we have films of the direct visualization by the pilot."
"We're on them," Manchek said. The screen showed the town bathed in glaring white light as the plane came down over it. The bodies were clearly visible. Manchek got up and walked close to the screen, peering off to one side.
"Look at this," he said, pointing to a figure.
It was a man in knee-length white robes standing and looking up at the plane. He was an old man with a withered face. His eyes were wide. Jagger smiled bleakly.
"The man looks alive to me, sir."
"Yes," Manchek said crisply. "He certainly does."
And with that, he walked out of the room. As he left, he paused and announced that he was declaring a state of emergency. When Arthur Manchek stepped into the small soundproofed booth and sat down before the telephone, he knew exactly what he was going to do, but he was not very sure why he was doing it. Manchek picked up the telephone and dialed. The time was exactly 12 midnight. The machinery was there. The cables, the codes, the teleprinters had all been waiting dormant for 2 years. It only required Manchek's call to set the machinery in motion. When he finished dialing, he heard a series of clicks, and then a low hum, which meant he knew that the call was being fed into one of the scrambled trunk lines. After a moment, the humming stopped and a voice said, "This is a recording. State your name and your message and hang up."
"Major Arthur Manchek, Vandenberg Air Force Base, Scoop Mission Control. I believe it is necessary to call up a wildfire alert. I have confirmatory visual data at this post, which has just been closed for security reasons."
There was no answer, only a click, as the connection was automatically broken. The line was dead. He hung up inside. It was all very unsatisfying. Allison Stone